Well, there's the lead in. And I have to say that the prospect of delivering this talk on this theme of God or the divine was a real challenge, even before having to deal with the issues of technology. I know that there are many diverse opinions on this question and in this community, so I thought this could be a lot of fun and very difficult. At any rate, let's take a bit of time to explore something other than the pandemic for a few minutes. It seems to me that when the discussion turns to God, positions tend to gravitate to extremes on either end of the continuum. On the one hand, you find the scriptural or biblical fundamentalists for whom there can be no deviation from received truths. On the other hand, are the reductionist scientific materialists for whom there can be no God. And even consciousness is simply an epiphenomenon arising out of matter. So we have competing claims, and both of which are based on metaphysical assumptions which can't be proven. Now, as we move away from these extremes, we can start to find hints of and mystery and questions that either do not get answered or questions whose answers simply lead on to further questions. And as we move closer and closer to the center, we begin to look at questions that lead us deeper and deeper into the mystery until we reach an unnameable and unknowable boundary. Now, this has been explored in many ways in many different cultures, and there's a lot of different names given to the mystery. Goddess, God, the divine, Gaia, universe, ground of being, infinity, ultimate concern, life force, nature, Alpha and Omega, Yahweh, I am, the Tao, the void, the force, universal conscious energy, infinite conscious intelligence, creator, the absolute, substance, ether, space, energy, mind, being, the infinite. And all of those are like little clues leading us in a particular in directions. But I find myself very much drawn to Joan Osborne's words. What if God was one of us? Just a stranger on a bus trying to make his way home. So let's look at this in a little more depth. UU minister Mark Morrison Reed writes, "What is God? What is God, really? God is the unbegun and unknowable, the unfathomable and ineffable, that is as close as the next heartbeat, as ordinary as a mote of dust, and as precious as a newborn. God is the transcendent mystery at the core of all things. God is the mask we place upon the infinite, and the garb we place over the drape over the sacred so that we might enter into relationship with it. For we, of all the manifestations of the eternally unfolding creation, are blessed to awaken to and knowingly witness and savor a miracle, life." Another minister, Reverend Ellen Cooper Davis, talks about God, the unspeakable name. She says, "A God box is my shorthand term for the ways in which we try to explain, articulate, and shape concepts of God, which is ultimately unexplainable, beyond our power to articulate, and transcends our own very limited human conceptions. Now, we all have a God box. The truly enlightened may be able to sit without one, to lose themselves in the raw mystery and unknowing. The rest of us, though, are constantly seeking shape, form, name, concept, traits, description, and understanding. Even those who stridently proclaim that they don't believe in God have no use for God, even that God is a harmful concept wholly invented by humanity. That's a God box, too. Fundamentalists of any stripe, whether religious fundamentalists or secular fundamentalists, tend to have narrow God boxes. If they believe in a God, they claim certainty about that God's temperament and personality and expectations. If they do not believe in a God, it's usually a narrow God that they are rejecting. Jerry Falwell has a narrow God box, so do Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens. The bigger our God boxes, the more room we leave for mystery, transcendence, and awe. We have more acceptance of the inadequacies of human-derived doctrines about something which is purportedly the ground of all being. We gain more comfort with the silence, the quiet, the emptiness of something that is totally beyond formal conception. We grow more sensitive to the direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder that our UU sources name as part of how we are as religious people. And some of you are no doubt wondering why, if the idea of God is ultimately so unknowable, then why not throw it out, as some of the atheists do? Why bother trying to make that much room in our God boxes at all, when we'll just end up contemplating and accepting what is beyond comprehension? And to this, honestly, I have no really good, compelling answer. Another quote from John Lennon. I believe in God, but not as one thing, not as an old man in the sky. I believe that what people call God is something in all of us. I believe that what Jesus and Mohammed and Buddha and all the rest said was right. It's just that the translations have gone wrong. And the Sufi Rumi says, silence is the language of God. All else is poor translation. So there are lots of ways of looking at this question, and the most honest way, I think, for me to proceed is to offer up a personal look at my own search for truth and meaning. Now, growing up in the United Church, I absorbed a middle-class concept of the Christian God, which was quite safe and warm. However, undergoing confirmation classes to become a member of the church, I realized that I could not honestly say the words of the Apostles' Creed. Now, I did say them. I was a good boy, after all. But after that, I stopped going to church. And I remember putting questions of God and religion on the back burner, thinking that I would deal with them in some distant future. After high school, university, the military, and sexual orientation took all of my focus. It was in 1967, a year after graduation, that a friend introduced me to this new phenomenon called LSD. Using a guidebook based on the Tibetan Book of the Dead, I underwent several LSD experiences that certainly opened my doors of perception, to use Aldous Huxley's phrase. As I wrote at the time, I was lifted right out of myself. I felt free and certain of my own worth and value. I experienced an extreme clarity of vision and sense of being outside myself. I felt the unity of humankind, that we were all part of each other, with a profound opening to a nonverbal awareness of interconnectedness. And I see that Brian has helped me out by removing the chalice from destroying our hutch. Now, these experiences led me into looking into a variety of spiritual approaches and writings by many different authors. I looked at the tarot and glimpsed at Kabbalah, and more focus went into Eastern approaches. I found Alan Watts was quite inspiring with the book on the taboo against knowing who you are. The Tao Te Ching became and has been a source of inspiration for me for decades, and I've explored a variety of Buddhist teachings. Now, these approaches help to validate the direct experience of LSD, but they also offered techniques such as meditation that could help me enter into a state of consciousness that dissolved some boundaries and reaffirmed the interconnectedness of everything, and all of this without having to invoke God at all. Now, through the 80s, 90s, and into the 21st century, union involvement, gay activism, and working on HIV and AIDS brought about a period in which my relationship to God took on a very adversarial aspect. The negative attitudes of many religious denominations brought about reaction, resistance, and even some resilience. I found that the need to promote change and justice preempted any interest in really exploring this God question. Now, in 2005, I was invited to speak at LUF. Now, I was nearing the end of my work life, so I thought, and the need for a spiritual community was beginning to manifest. This congregation offered a place to explore that without preconditions. My previous experiences and explorations led me to a deep appreciation of our seventh principle, the respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, and to our first source, the direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and sustain life. Now, as time has moved on, I've explored many different approaches to the God question, from printed word to video to many speakers at LUF and elsewhere, and a lot from members and friends of this liberal religious community. Now, the diversity of experience and approach has opened me up to a greater acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth, while also pushing me in my free and responsible search for truth and meaning. So I've become comfortable with the God word because I know what I mean by it. I don't use it to describe my own experience of transcending mystery, but I'm certainly open to other people's use or rejection of that word. Now, Reverend Kirk Lodeman Copeland, who really is the leader of the Touchstones material, sums things up quite nicely in this following paragraph. The genius of our faith is that belief in God and belief in no God abide here together, each valued, each respected, each necessary. We hold the beliefs that we do so that we might live life as well as possible, not to have them judged by others as either worthy or wanting. And what is important is our love. Belief is secondary to character, and character is secondary to the way we act in the world. What matters is not God or no God, but the kindness and compassion and generosity that we bring daily to our lives and to the world. Now, in working on this talk, I know that this exploration really is never-ending, especially around the question of consciousness in relation to God or whatever term is meaningful to you. I don't think we need to be hostile to or frightened by God, but rather see God as one part of our ongoing search for truth and meaning. May it be so.